Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
We say we're building something here. Genesis 28, 16, Jacob said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." We need to understand, and I want to remind everybody in the room today, that we are not building something at Living Way. We are building something through Living Way. We are building something in the people of God. You and I house, praise God, Jesus. That's why we have come up with verbiage like welcome or invite Jesus into your heart. What we're saying is bring Jesus into your life. Make him Lord of all. And so the here is not here. The here is here. We're building something in us. We're creating a culture, a kingdom, a future, and a people for Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. One day, Elisha stands for the God of our salvation. Elisha is known because he carried a double anointing and requested a double portion. So one day, the God of our salvation, Elisha, went to a town called Shunem. Shunem means the double resting place. Remember, this is a season of double for somebody. Not just double stuff, but double anointing, praise God. Double your assignment, double your purpose, double your capacity. All of the things become doubled. This is a season where not only is everything doubled, but like the wealthy Shunammite woman who had almost everything, but there was a missing piece. I want to encourage those of you yet again this week that there is a missing piece in your life that God wants to bring to fruition. God wants to finally bring that thing you've been praying for. And don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you have enough or 9 out of 10 is not too bad. No, God wants you to be blessed wholly, totally, everything he has for you. The Bible says that she urged the man of God to come home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed away, he would stop to eat. And we left last session talking verse 9, where she said to her husband, "I am sure that this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God." And we asked this question last week, can we recognize the presence of God or the move of God when it doesn't show up like we think it should or like it has shown up in the past? We all know people who are married to the past. The only way they want to do things is how it's always been done. The only way that they expect God to move is how he's always moved. But can I encourage and entice somebody today to dream a little bigger than you've ever dreamed before and get your expectation a little bigger than it's ever been before? Because I don't want you and I don't want me, I don't want us to miss what God is doing because he's doing it a different way. I don't want us to miss God going by us because it doesn't look like the God that we've always said. And remember, we talked about the verse where Jesus said to the sheep, he said, "There was times when I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me something to drink, naked and you clothed me. I was unwell and you brought healing and health and cared for me. And I was in prison and you visited me." And they said, "When do we ever do those things?" And he said, "If you do it to the least of people, you do it to me." And that's what you've done. Then he looked at the goats and he said, "You cannot enter," because he said, "You refuse to help feed, clothe." And so when we talk about the food bank, church, we're not just talking about, and I love the number, 9,876 families, but most importantly, every one of those families counts. And every one of those people that were hungry, when we fed them, that was a service first to God, praise God. Because when we found somebody hungry, we didn't just say, "I'll pray for you." We said, "Hey, I can meet that need." Can I encourage somebody today? If you can meet the need that someone asks you prayer for, why pray? Just meet the need. You understand that, right? Like if somebody comes up to you and says, "I'm hungry," instead of saying, "Well, God, I'm going to pray that God gives you something to eat," say, "Hey, there's a Whataburger right there. I'm going to take you and get you a value meal. What you want?" There's a lot of us praying about needs that we can already meet. You don't need to pray about a need that you can meet. I believe that God orchestrates those divine appointments because he said, "I have blessed you to be a blessing. Now you can bless them." So she created a meal for him to come and visit. She said, "I understand and recognize the presence of God." Verse 10, "Let us build a small room on the roof. Let's furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay." I don't want God to visit my life. And I don't want to just visit God. I want God and me and God, to be so in tune with one another that there is no Brandon outside of God, and there is no such thing as God where you don't see Brandon. I want him to be a part of every day of my life and every area of my life. I want him to be involved in the areas that sometimes I don't want him to be involved in. Come on, there's some single people in the house today that you ask God to bless your money, but you won't let him pick your mate. There's some college age kids that you want God to give you scholarship, but you don't want God to choose your profession. I have grown old enough to know this, that the faithfulness of God, I want it in every area of my life. Because even when I think it's what I want, I find out years later that what I was praying for and what I was asking for, that was really the last thing I needed. I want God in my life to make my decisions and to be a part of every decision. She said, let's make room for the man of God. Let's build a room. Let's make room for God to move. Let's make room for the presence of God. Let's make room for the Spirit of God to move here in our services, which is what we do. I wish you could have seen us on Friday night. Friday night, we had a great Catalyst block party. And block party is a phrase that our team came up with that's not churchy, because we want unassuming teenagers to think that it's actually a party, which it is a party. It's just not filled with red Solo cups, alcohol, drugs, and sex. But what I loved about this block party compared to the other block parties, this was number 9. Our crowd was a little down this time, but our altar service was the best altar service we've had in all 9 block parties. We dismissed service and told young people, there's free food out, the music's bumping, but we had a group of young people stay in the altar, tears streaming down their faces, speaking in another tongue, receiving the Spirit of God. Why? Because we created a place for God to move, and we didn't just bring young people in to count their heads and give them a pep talk and send them on their way. We said, no, this is a culture that we are creating, an atmosphere for you to meet Jesus and Jesus to meet you. So she said, let's make room and let's furnish it. And she furnishes it with 4 items, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I want Living Way to be this for you, me, and for our city. The first thing she says, and in this room, she says, we need to put a bed. How many of you love your bed? Drake said it best. He said, I love my bed and my mama. There's a lot of things that I love in life. Let me rephrase that. There's a lot of things I like in life. I love to sleep, y'all. I don't get a whole lot of it, but I love at the end of the day, you work hard, lay down on cold sheets, pull that cover over your head. And if you're in Texas, I got 2 fans on me, 1 above me. I got an industrial fan that sits. I do it for the noise. Listen, when it was 18 degrees last month, I still had the fans going. We're in Texas, y'all. But I love that bed, because that bed signifies that rest. The bed is a place of rest. At Living Way, we are building a place of rest. Let me just preface what I'm going to say. Rest is not laziness. Rest is important. Rest is important because, and that just shows you sometimes how fleshly we are. You can quote all the scripture you want. You can be full of the Word of God. You can take communion every other week. You can speak in tongues. But we all get cranky and we all get tired when we don't have enough rest. Some of us have been sleeping a lot, but we're not finding rest. Some of us take naps, but we're not finding rest. What we want to build at Living Way is we want to build not a building, but a culture where when people come into this presence, they've been running from the devil all week. They've been running through the city all week. They've been dodging the things of this world all week. And I don't want to get into my Wednesday night series, but our Wednesday night series on Run, the Bible says that the righteous run into the safe tower that is the name of Jesus and are safe and find rest in that. When you come to Living Way in the presence of the Lord, you should be able to exhale and say, There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. But I want to remind you, it's not just a Living Way thing. You ought to be able to find that solace and find that rest wherever you are, no matter what is going on in your life and in my life, no matter how crazy work is getting, no matter how crazy our coworkers are, we ought to be able to live in that place of rest. But for those that don't know Jesus like we know Jesus, we do want Living Way Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. We want this place to be a place of rest where when they come in here, there is no other agenda. We're not trying to get your money. We're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to, none of those things matter. We are just doing our best to say, here's Jesus. You look tired. You sound tired. Here's a place for you to rest. There's young people that I see at our block parties. They don't know what to do during worship. I saw a young man this past Friday night. He was sitting a couple rows from the front, not the back. Worship is going on all around him, and he was just sitting there. The old Brandon would have nudged him in his ribs and said, hey, you need to stand up and praise. But I didn't recognize him. And so I let him rest. I didn't know what devil he was fighting all Friday and all week. And so the fact that at 18 years of age, he comes to a church service instead of a party because somebody invited him to block party. We might call it block party, but God said, no, young man, come in so you can rest for the next 90 minutes. We're going to show you that there is a place of peace that you can step into. And then we can have some conversations later on that I can tell him, hey, rest isn't about Living Way. Living Way can give you a place to rest, but Jesus wants to give you this rest every day of your life. That bed, that place of rest, it represents many things because when we rest, when we sleep, we regain strength. Some of us just need to rest. We need to find what it means in the chaos of life with all hell echoing around us, all the craziness of life coming at us, just to be able to say, I'm praying for that situation. I know God is in control. That is out of my hands, so I choose to rest. Can I encourage somebody, it's okay to rest. I know there's a lot of people that, and I am not anti-hustle culture. I think we do need a hustle because our time is dwindling and we don't have a lot of time to do what God has called us to do. But can I tell you that you can hustle yourself out of productivity because you have not rested and you have given all your strength away and you wear that as a badge of honor. Oh, I do this and I do that and I do this, but your family's suffering, your marriage is suffering, your mental state is suffering, your spiritual health is suffering, all because you will not rest. This is not an indictment and this is not an excuse, and I'm not giving anyone a reason to quit a ministry or to quit coming to church, but I am here to tell you in the 168 hours a week, every one of them can be rest. You can serve while you're resting. You can worship while you are resting, but we need to give strength. There's some of us that have gone through a hellacious event in our life. You're grieving. Somebody died. Mom, dad was taken from you through COVID or maybe in the last few months. And here you are. And this is the first time you've lived on this planet called Earth without your mother, your father, or both. Maybe your marriage ended in 2023. Maybe it's about to end in 2024. Maybe your kids aren't what they should be. Maybe you have less money today than you did 5 years ago, and it's beginning to wear you down mentally and wear you down physically. This is what I know. When you are hurting, you need to heal. And any time that I have been sick or any time that I've had a physical injury and the doctor prescribes medicine, he always says, but what you really need to do is rest. Some of us will never be whole because we never rest long enough to heal. Some of us will never be whole. That means the abundance, the Zoe of life, that Jesus died to give us, we will never be whole. We will never be healed because we refuse to rest. I had surgery last month, and one of the hardest things that they told me to do is they said, hey, for the next 6 weeks, you can't lift anything over 25 pounds. And if you know me, a bag of horse feed is 50 pounds. And so my choice is I either had to beg help or ask for help, which I don't like to do, or I had to do it the sissy way with a little scoop. And I'm going to tell you, I did both. Pastor Mandy helped me, Tyler helped me, and then I got tired of asking for help, and so your boy's been out there with a scoop, making sure I don't lift more than 25. Why? Because I want to heal right, because I've got a job to do and an assignment to do. What are you talking about, Pastor Brandon, as it relates to we're building something here? I'm talking about we are building a place for people to rest, to gain strength, and to heal. This is a place for you to heal from past hurts. This is a place for you to receive fresh words so that you can heal. Develop new relationships so you can heal. When you rest, you are refreshed. Every time you come into the presence of the Lord and what we're building at Living Way, you should leave feeling better than when you walked in. There are many times, especially those Wednesday nights, we've been working all day in the middle of a tough week, and we just barely make it into the house of God. But I've never walked off this platform or out of this building at 8:35 where I did not feel better than when I walked in. I want to encourage you. We are building a place for you to be refreshed. I know what's going on. I am already sick and tired of political ads. And it's the same ones over and over and over again. And here I'm thinking, y'all are wasting your money because I've already made up my mind what I'm going to do. I've studied. I've already made my picks. What you say in an attack ad. And quit attacking people. Let me know what you believe. Not why you're against them. Let me know what you're fighting. But I'm so sick and tired of it. And so I got to turn that off. And I got to get in the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of Jesus, I am refreshed. I've never heard a political speech that made me feel better. I've never heard someone's oratory skills make me feel better. But in the presence of Jesus, I feel refreshed. Let me tell you how great the presence of Jesus is. When I hit a home run with a sermon, His presence will refresh you. But when I come out here and I struggle through a sermon and you tell your wife on the way home, I think that's the worst I've ever heard Pastor Brandon do. The power of God is so powerful that he will refresh you in spite of me. He will refresh you in spite of what's going on physically in this room. When the sound's great, he will refresh you. When the sound's not so great, he will refresh you. When the ushers high-fived you and told you you look like $1 million, he will refresh you. When everybody ignored you, which would never happen at Living Way, he still will refresh you. Why? Because I'm not refreshed by you. I am refreshed when I rest in the presence of the Lord. When you sleep on that bed, when you rest, you start dreaming again. I want to give permission to people in this room to dream again. Some of you have stopped dreaming. Some of you have stopped setting goals. Some of you, because of the time that it took between the time you prayed for it and it still hasn't happened, you've given up. Can I encourage you? God has not given up on you, and so don't give up on his dreams and his calling for your life. Dream again. Dream big dreams. Dream great dreams. Get around other dreamers. Share your dreamers with faith-filled people. Write your dream down on a note card and stick it on your mirror in the bathroom so that you're reminded every day. I've got permission to dream again. If I'm still breathing, it's not over. If God is still living in me, it's not over. There is something for me. And so we want to create a place at Living Way and in the presence of God where you can rest so that you regain your strength, so that you heal, so that you can focus, and so that you can dream again. The second thing she said we need to put in there, she said we need to put a table in there. I love the table, y'all, for obvious reasons. The table is a place of provision. At Living Way, we are building a place of provision. First, spiritual provision. Second, physical provision. Can I tell you, the number one goal we have for you when you come to Living Way is to give your life to Jesus Christ and to make him your Savior and Lord of all. That is number one. And number two is a far distant in our goal for you. You say, well, I need money. No, you need Jesus. I need healing. No, you need Jesus. First and foremost, I need Jesus. If you were to fall off of the boat in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and you could not swim, I don't care if you were broke and hungry, what would you be screaming for? Help. Help me. You need some money? No, I need you to help me. You need some food? No, I need you to help me. I love the food bank. I love all of our programs. But the first thing, first and foremost, is we're going to meet people with Jesus. Praise God. You're going to notice a difference between the bed and the table. And I don't want to get too deep into this. But the difference between the bed and the table is the bed, it represents you. The table represents we. I've never gone into a restaurant and then say, table for one? They don't have tables for one. The minimum is a table for. Now, you might eat by yourself, and I'm going to tell you, that's better than eating with the wrong people. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But we go from you to we. You is a selfish thing. When you first come to church and you first come to the things of God, church, you need to be selfish. Because it is you and Jesus. And when you stand before God on that judgment day, it will be you and Jesus, not Living Way and Jesus. It will be you and Jesus. That's why it is a personal choice. That is why it is a personal decision. That is why we stress it every service. Are there people who want to give their lives to Jesus Christ and accept Him? But very quickly, maturity says it's not always going to be about me, and it's not you're building something. It is we're building something. So the bed is you, but the table is we. There is something powerful about we. The Bible says many things about we. It says one puts 1,000 to flight, but two puts 10,000 to flight. The Bible says a three-stranded cord is difficult to break. The Bible says if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. The Bible says when two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. That is why, listen to what I'm saying, and I don't make any apologies to the people watching online today, but online church will never take the place of in the room church, because online church is you, but when you get in the room, you becomes we. When I am watching something on TV, I am a consumer, but when I get in the room, it is now not just me, it is now we. It's you have something to give me, and I have something to give you, and let me pray for you, let me hug you, let me encourage you, let me talk to you, let me help you get baptized, let me help you receive healing, let me help you go out there and sign up for Living Way Launch. Hey, you need somebody to walk down to the altar with you. You has now become we. I love my online community, but we got to get back in church. We got to turn you to we. Online church is a very distant second, but there's nothing like in person at the table. This is what happens at the table, church. We eat. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you don't eat, you've got just a few days to live. If you don't eat, you only have a few days. If you don't eat the things of God, your body starts atrophying the moment that you stop eating. We are nourished at the table. We are nourished. We get the right things that are going to make us grow. We are not just having a fatty diet, but when we come in here, we get the meat, praise God. We get the word of God that is life-changing and life-transforming. Don't ever invite me out to eat at a vegan place. I'm not vegan. I might have lost weight, but I haven't lost my mind. I still like, not saying that you have, I still like eating shrimp. I still like eating fish. I still like eating pork. I still like eating red beef. Praise God. You got to eat the right things. When you come to Living Way, you're going to get the right things. More importantly, when you hook into what Jesus is doing and saying, you are going to receive the right things. And Living Way is creating a table that is for everybody. If you are wanting to grow, if you are wanting to be nourished, this is the place for you. We're building a table. We're nourished. We grow at the table. We literally grow at the table. Some of you remember at Thanksgiving, you got a whole special set of pants you wear that have that elastic. We grow. But here at Living Way, when we sit at the table that God has prepared and we digest and ingest the things of God, we grow. We mature at the table. My family and I, we don't, not that we can't. My mom is an amazing cook from the woods of Louisiana. So, I mean, that etouffee and jambalaya and shrimp and catfish and all that good stuff, gumbo, all that, she can make all that. My wife's a good cook. We just don't take time to do that. We have other stuff going on. That's just not how we work. So we eat at the table at restaurants quite a bit. But what I've learned and what I've noticed is when I sit down with Tyler and Jaden at 20 and 17, our conversations now are a lot different than they were 10 years ago, are a lot different than they were 15 years ago. Why? Because they have matured. The things they talk about now, they talk about relationship, they talk about goals and vision and ministry, they talk about all the things that adults now talk about. Can I encourage somebody in this room? You went to another church that was all milk and you've been sitting at the kiddie table, but we need you to turn in your sippy cup when you come to Living Way. There is no kids table. We're all sitting at one table, and that's the table of growth. That's the table of becoming what God has called us to be. That's the table of, ooh, I don't like the broccoli, but I understand it's good for me. And I know I'd rather have the sweet tea, but I'll just take a water with extra ice and a wedge of lemon. That's what happens when we grow and when we mature. Can I encourage you that your table, the conversation has to mature? If you don't like the conversation that's happening at your table, you either need to find another table or you need to grow up to match the conversation that's happening at the table. Well, I don't understand what you're preaching about. Well, message us. We've got leaders that will explain what the Word of God says. But you've got to understand, if you sit at the right table, you're going to be stretched. You're going to grow. You are going to find out some things that you didn't know. We develop relationships at the table. Remember, we're talking about creating a space. We're building a table. Can I encourage you, if you are single and you go out on a first date, don't go to a movie. That's a dumb first date. Say, why is it dumb? Because you're not conversing. Go to dinner somewhere. Sit down. Talk about some things that matter. Don't talk about social media. Don't talk about the weather. Definitely don't talk about politics. But talk, why? Because you need to be able to make a decision before the meal is brought out whether there's going to be a second date or not. Could it be, I'm not even going to say that. Let's just go on. Could it be that the reason they want to take you to a movie theater is they don't care anything about you, and if there's a second date, they're just more concerned with what's going to happen at the end of the first date? Because if I'm really trying to get to know somebody, sitting in a dark room and not talking to them is not how it gets done. I'm just saying. Let's talk about this for a second. It matters who sits at your table. I will die on this hill. If you invite me somewhere, what's going to be my first question? Who's going? I have literally made people send me the guest list to their party. So, Pastor, no, that's why I have peace. That's why my life is chaos-free and drama-free. Because I'm not going to let the silliness of your so-called friends. Oh, Pastor, that's just my childhood friend. Why are they still sitting at your table? Well, I'm ministering to them. Why is it that that's the only time you minister to them is over food and when you're hanging out? Why aren't you bringing them to church? Why aren't you going to their house and actually pouring into their life and developing? Why is it just good times? It matters who sits at your table. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. But guess what that doesn't mean? That doesn't mean everybody will get a seat. That means you might have to watch me while I eat. But everybody can watch, but everybody doesn't get a seat at the table. I am here to tell you, we are building a table for everybody at Living Way. But you have to realize when you leave this place, you are creating a place for God to move. But you've got to be able to focus in on who is there to just get full of food and who is there because they need Jesus. And I've got a lot more to do that I want to get through. Let's go to the third one real quick. Keep playing, Ty. Keep playing. Let's talk about the chair. He said, put a chair. She said, put a chair in that room. A chair is a place of refocus. Living Way is a place of refocus. This is what I want to encourage you with. When I thought of this chair, my mind went to a recliner. How many of you have a special chair at home, that recliner that you love just kicking back? I think my father-in-law's in here somewhere. He's got one of those electrical chairs. Like it stands you up and sits you down. It does everything for you. We just need a remote control on that thing to take us to the kitchen. Praise God. But the more I thought about it, that would be more like the bed. When I was thinking more about the chair, I thought about the office chair. I thought about the chair behind my desk. See, I've got a home office. In my office, there's two chairs. There's a recliner next to my desk that faces a 75-inch TV, and I'm about 8 feet away from it. Praise God. But then next to my recliner, there's a desk. That desk chair is not as comfortable as the recliner. Every time I walk into my office, check this out, I've got to choose. Am I going to rest? Or am I going to work? I make it multiple times a day. Sometimes, listen to what I'm saying now. Look at the spiritual significance of this. Sometimes I say, I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes. And I'm going to check my DMs or my emails or my text messages. And that 10 minutes turns into... And I wake up and it's dark outside. You ever wake up and it's dark outside and it's 7? And you don't know if it's 7 p.m. or 7 a.m. Wiping the drool out your... We cannot confuse rest and work. The bed is a place for rest, but the chair is a place to refocus, to do God's work. Listen to this. The chair is a place to refocus. The chair is a place to receive fresh perspective. In my chair, I read, I meditate, I plan, I strategize, I work. In my chair, I revisit the vision God has given me. In my chair, I write new vision. Remember where we're coming from in this story, because the Shunammite woman said, I understand that the presence of God in this man of God comes by the house, and just for a moment he comes in and eats and leaves, but let's prepare a place for him to rest, for him to eat. But let's create a place where he feels comfortable enough to sit down and stay. I want you to stand on your feet today. We're creating a place at Living Way for people to sit down in a chair. And as I'm reading this now, my notes too, let's not make it an office chair, make it a classroom chair. Here in the next month, we're going to unveil our schedule for learning how to study your Bible and some of the tenets of our faith that are new to you as believers. But in those sessions, you're going to have notebooks. You're going to be writing things down, because we believe we're creating a place for you to come and learn, to meditate. You're going to get a fresh perspective on God. I was talking to one of our leaders before service. I said, how was your week? She said, great. She said, I had a chance to minister to somebody who is so done with church and church hurt and all of these things. But when I talked to her, she said, man, I've never talked to somebody that made me feel like you do about God. What is that? That's fresh perspective. When people come to Living Way, I don't want to preach Jesus in such a way that it hurts them. I want to preach Jesus in such a way that it helps them. I don't want us to condemn people. I want us to love people and let the Holy Spirit convict them enough to transform them. And we are way past, and that is on me. We'll save this next one for next week. The last one will be lamb. But as I was studying this these last few weeks and putting this together the last 2 weeks, this specific part, I told you last week, it's almost like a state of living away a dress, but the more I think about it, I'm saying, God, what kind of church do you want us to build? What kind of people do you want us to be? And that goes beyond style of music. That goes beyond dress code. That goes beyond building aesthetic. What do you want us to build? And as I looked at this, I said, man, a lot of these things we're already doing, but God said, oh yeah, but you could do them a whole lot better. And so we want to open Living Way up to people so that they know, oh yeah, we are that Holy Spirit church. We are that demon casting out church. We are that cancer healing church. We are that church that is not like everybody else, but we also need them to know when you come in this room, nobody's going to point a finger at you. We're just going to say, come to Jesus. Get closer to Jesus. Come to an altar. Things can change. If you're in this place today and you need Jesus, this is your call. If you don't know Jesus and you're far away from him, this is your moment. If you said yes to Jesus at one time in your life at VBS, at Sunday school, at a youth camp, or maybe you said yes to Jesus 10 years ago somewhere, and you have not lived up to that declaration, now's the time for you to rededicate your life. As this man comes to the altar, he has broken the ice for everybody. The first one to the altar is sometimes the hardest one. He's broken the ice. Now it's your turn, your time. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. God, as we lift our hands to you today, God, I've done my best today to convey what we are building, God.